In fact, you heard it many, many times, over and over again, especially during communion. But once God put a word on my heart what to share, I sort of resisted at first because I thought, no, we've heard enough of that. But the word that kept coming to me, it kept saying, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And the last thought was last Saturday when we had the garage sale here. I was still not sure whether to share that or not. So I went and started preparing something else. And when we were at the garage sale, we had it inside the children's room there. And there was a round table with all different bits and pieces. And Dorothy, she knows what I'm going to talk about. She there was all these birthday cards and stuff. And I said to Dorothy, you might as well take them because we're going to end up throwing them. So she took everything except one CD that was left there. And I looked at this CD. I said, Dorothy, this is yours. She said, no. I said, where did it come from? She said, I don't know. And it had on it, forgive, forgiving, and forgetting. And I thought, Lord, you're trying to say something to me. And so I took it and I put it in my car to see what it was about, if it was the same thing God put on my heart, but it was all scratched. I couldn't get nothing out of it. So all I got out of it was the forgetting and forgiving. So what I'm going to be sharing today, you will know that that's what God wants me to share, even though you heard it over and over again, but we got to be obedient to what God has to say. So what I'm going to talk about is words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And the words that Jesus spoke from the cross were amazing. They were amazing. You need to picture this first, because here is Jesus on the cross. He's only a few moments from dying. He hasn't got much more to go. He is in pain. You can imagine the pain he was going through at that time. He is thirsty. We know he's thirsty at this time. He's very uncomfortable. Can you imagine? You just put your hands out, you know, for a few minutes like that. How long do you think you can last? Jesus, because according to Mark's gospel, he endured the torment of crucifixion for some 6 hours. It says from the third hour, which is approximately 9 a.m., until his death at the ninth hour, corresponding to about 3 p.m. The cross weighed about 165 pounds. Was 3 or 4 meters high, with a crossbeam of 2 meters wide. So you can imagine, here's Jesus hanging. I mean, I probably couldn't last half an hour, I don't know about you, let alone hours and hours. So we see that he's very, very uncomfortable. He's bleeding, we know his body was full of blood. He's being made fun of, and that I think is worse than the pain itself. And, of course, he's been humiliated. He's being insulted while he's on the cross. Now, you think in that position, Jesus wouldn't care what anyone else is saying, what anyone else is thinking. Or you wouldn't think he'll have time to say anything. He'd just give up. That's it. He knows he's going to go. But he spoke from the cross, didn't he? Jesus found time to speak from the cross. And he spoke about forgiveness, he spoke about salvation, he spoke about love, atonement, he spoke about suffering, victory, and also security. Now we need to remember that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. Because without the cross, none of us would be here today, and none of us would ever have a hope of ever going to heaven. None of us. So thank God that now we see the cross empty. Jesus is not on the cross anymore because Jesus is risen. So when we look at the cross, I don't know about you, but when you look at the cross, you see an empty cross. You know, it's sad we still see many crosses in churches with Jesus still hanging onto the cross. It is very sad because Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Jesus is risen, as I just said. But what does all this mean to you? What does this mean to me? What does the cross mean to us? The cross of Christ is God's final word as to the character and consequence of human sin and of the amazing sacrifice of divine love. As we know, Jesus went to the cross so that we, through his death and through his resurrection, we might have a personal relationship with God, and that we might know its power in every area of our lives. And we know how important relationships are. As you all know, I've got 11 brothers and sisters, and you miss their presence. And that's why we go in next week, because we miss them and we want to spend that time with them. And this is why Jesus died on the cross, so we can have that relationship with the Father. You see, when we speak of the cross, to us as Christians, we remember that Jesus suffered more than anyone else that has ever suffered. And that was for you and for me. Of course, the cross is Jesus as our Savior. And there is no holier place we can ever hope to come to. The cross is the place to where heaven's love and heaven's justice also, where heaven's love and heaven's justice, they meet together. There are, of course, as I mentioned before, 7 sayings that are recorded in the Bible and that we know of as Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago. He made these 7 great statements, and they cover the basic needs of mankind. But we're going to be able to look at one of them today. We won't look at the 7 of them. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. But we're going to look at one of these 7 sayings, and I think the most important saying from the cross. So we like to open to Luke chapter 23, verse 34. That's Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. They're still making fun of him. Even as Jesus is saying, forgive them, they're dividing his clothes. So forgive them, said Jesus. But who, I wonder, Jesus was referring to at the time when he said that? Who do you think Jesus was referring to as he said from the cross, Father, forgive them? Because there were many, many groups of people around the cross at that time. I would say that the closest to him would have been the execution party. The Roman soldiers, because the Roman soldiers had the task of crucifying a human being. And as Jesus prayed his unselfish prayer, Father, forgive them, I'm sure that his eyes would have went on different people at the time. Not just on the soldiers who executed him. His eyes would have been on many, many other people. Perhaps on the teachers who hated him. Or maybe the priests who bought him with silver. Or maybe the traitor who sold him to them. Or perhaps the crowd who had cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Or maybe in the distance there was Pilate in his palace. He's trying to compromise with his conscience. He's trying to blame somebody else for what was happening. There was also his disciples who had been with him for nearly 3 years. They didn't lift a finger to stop what was happening. And I think that's very unusual, because if you're with a group of people together and you're getting beaten up and tortured, someone you think would just jump in and help. That would be the normal situation if you're with a group of friends and someone's getting beaten up. As Jesus endured the torture of crucifixion, they failed to make even a small protest against him, against the terrible atrocities being committed. They never done absolutely nothing, not lifting a finger. Here these 12 strong men who was with him for 3 years. Can you imagine that? You're among friends, another 12 friends, and all of a sudden you're getting beaten up and put on the cross. You think at least they would have done something. So what does this tell us? The message of the Bible is that it was the sin of the world which crucified Jesus, wasn't it? It was the sin of the world which crucified Jesus. And the gospel writers simply wrote, they crucified Jesus. That's what they wrote. They crucified Jesus. So who crucified him? I can tell you who crucified him. And I hope no one gets offended. Because someone got offended once. I was doing the Alpha course with. It was just 101. And when I said to this person that we're all sinners, we're in need of repentance, he turned on me and said, I've never done anything wrong. I don't sin. I don't need repentance. And he never came back to the Alpha course. But I'll tell you who crucified him. I did. And you did. And they did. Those groups around the cross, every one of us, is equally guilty of the crucifixion. They do not know what they do, said Jesus, but they did it anyway. They do not know what they do, and they still done it. The amazing thing of this word from the cross is that there is good news. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness for the disciples who forsook Jesus and fled in the night. Forgiveness for the evil ones who drove him to the cross. This forgiveness for the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. Forgiveness for the religious enemies, the priests and the teachers. This forgiveness for every person who have ever sinned or made a mistake. This forgiveness for you and me. And thank God there is forgiveness. Where would we be without that forgiveness? And there is forgiveness today. Not when we die. Forgiveness today. Let's have a look at what John told us. Because John told us this truth when he wrote in 1 John chapter 9. Chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. That's 1 John chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have no sin, we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Here, John is talking to us all. He's talking to every one of us who confess sin. God says that we are sinners and we are in need of forgiveness. None of us can say that we don't need forgiveness, as that person said. How blinded you have to be to say things like that. I've never done anything wrong. I have never sinned. I don't need forgiveness. And I feel sorry for people like that. But there are many people out there who think they don't need forgiveness. And to confess is to agree with him, isn't it? To agree with him, to admit that we are sinners and we are in need of his mercy. If a believer confesses his or her specific sins to God, He will cleanse all our unrighteousness from that person. And that's amazing. All, not some of it. Not the real bad stuff we done. Or the stuff that are not too bad. All. And I like that word where it says here, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, forgiveness and cleansing are guaranteed because God is faithful to his promise. God never goes back on his promise. And if he says he will forgive us, then he will forgive us. Amen? In the Bible, of course, there are many, many more promises from God about forgiveness. And we're going to be looking at some of those verses of Scripture so you can be assured that God does forgive us. There's many promises, and one of those promises is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And I know there's many, many people that still don't understand this verse. You try to tell people about this verse, and they don't understand it. You know why they don't understand it? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. That's the end of it. You know, at Easter time was very sad. You see on TV, people flogging themselves, people walking on their knees, that God would forgive them. They punish themselves for the sins they have done. They don't realize, they don't need to do that. The punishment that has been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, you've seen it over and over again on TV, in different countries, in different denominations, where people just flog themselves and they're bleeding on their back, thinking that will, that God will forgive them after they've done that. So if full and final forgiveness has been achieved, so that God does not remember sin any longer, then no further sacrifice for sin is necessary, is it? There's no more, we don't need to sacrifice anymore, because God done all the sacrifice for us. To remember sins no more does not mean to forget. God doesn't have a bad memory. But what it means is not to hold sin against us any longer. Let's have a look at another verse in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Just the next one page before. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. How beautiful is that? He will remember our sins no more. God is not like us. You know, it's hard for us to forget when someone hurts us, when someone does the wrong thing by us. Very hard to forget. And sometimes we want revenge. We want to pay back. But God doesn't pay back. God, if we genuinely confess, he will forgive us and will remember our sins no more. And all this will happen because God in his mercy towards us, instead of judgment against us, will put away our sins. And then that perfect fellowship between us and God will be possible. See, if we live in sin, it's not possible to have that relationship with God. It's not possible at all. But now, because we're able to ask for forgiveness, that relationship with God is restored. Again, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. And let's look at the Old Testament now and look at Jeremiah. Because this promise is in the Old and New Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and will remember their sins no more. How much more promises do we need about God's forgiveness? We see here from peasant farmers to kings and princesses, the Bible says all would know God, who will forgive and will purposely not remember the sins and iniquities of his people who come to him in repentance and faith. That was always God's heart, to forgive us from the start, from creation. That was always God's plan, forgiveness. Jesus the Messiah fulfilled this promised new covenant through his work on the cross. And we'd like to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19, if we need more evidence. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The word here translated refreshing refers to restoration, restoration of strength and nourishment. Strength is restored when hope is restored. You know that? Strength is restored when hope is restored. In verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Who wants these times of refreshing? We all do. We all want times of refreshing. Then the Bible tells us what we need to do. And just read another verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If God's people would do three things, the Bible is saying here. If God's people would do three things, God would respond in three ways. We see here, the Lord's people need to, first of all, need to become humble, which is to confess. They need to pray, which is to repent. And they needed to turn or come back to Him, to God. If they did, then God would hear, He would forgive, and He will heal them. And I believe healing them here is talking about spiritual healing. You know, for us Christians, we know that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus because of the cross. We've had an incredible debt forgiven. We had a debt that we could never pay. Now we received total forgiveness. Now we have assurance that our sins are forgiven the moment we genuinely turn to God and ask Him to forgive us. We have good news. Jesus forgives. Jesus prayed on the cross for forgiveness for those who had wronged Him. None of us has been wronged as Jesus was wronged. God is willing to forgive us no matter what we've done, where we've been. God was always willing to forgive us. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. There is one more point to mention here. There were the two thieves, remember? Crucified with Jesus. One repented and the other one didn't. The time of decision came for both. The time of decision came for both. When it came to the choice of rebellion or repentance for the dying thieves, it was now or never. And they had a choice. They had a choice. One chose to repent and accept Christ, and he was saved. The other one wasn't prepared to do that. And unfortunately, he was lost. The other day I read something from a book. It's a while ago now. I'll read it to you. There was a cardinal from the Philippines. His name was, oddly enough, Cardinal Sin. When Cardinal Sin was a bishop, a young woman in his parish claimed that she had visions of Jesus. Bishop Sin was given the task of this determining if these visions were true. He called her for an interview. Then he made this request to her. "Daughter," he said, "the next time you see visions of Jesus, would you ask him what sin your bishop committed as a young priest? And then come and tell me his answer." And so she agreed. The bishop, aware that nobody knew his sin except his confessor and Jesus, no one else knew, he felt this would be a valid test to see if she's really having visions of Jesus. Months later, the young woman returned, reporting she had seen Jesus again. The bishop said, "Good, did you ask him about my sin?" She said, "Yes." "And what did he say?" He said, "I have forgotten." We read earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, God will not only forgive our sins, but he remembers no more. All of us has sinned, large or small, all of us, the Bible says. Our God not only suffered and died for our sins, he also has promised to remember our sins no more. Sins has been forgiven and forgotten through one perfect single sacrifice. The time of decision is now. We can wait and think like many people do. One day, just before I die, I will ask for forgiveness and God will forgive me. And I'm sure you heard that before, and I've heard that from people. One day God will forgive me. I will repent. But you know, sometimes the time comes when it's unexpectedly. And that's why I say the time is now. And if anyone here hasn't asked God's forgiveness, hasn't asked Jesus to come into their lives, the time is now. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we do thank you, Father, that you're a forgiving God. Lord, you could have abandoned us, Lord God, when we sinned against you. But you didn't do that. You sent Jesus to die on the cross, that we may have eternal life with you, that we may have that relationship with you, Lord. Father, we thank you for that forgiveness. You look at us now and you see us white as snow. You see us pure. Not because we are good people, but because of what Jesus done for us. I pray, Father, that if anyone here hasn't accepted that forgiveness yet, Lord, they will have the courage to come and say sorry. Not sorry to me or sorry to people. Lord, we sinned against you, and you're the only one that can forgive us. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God, in Jesus' name.